Okay, we're going to start Shulchan Aruch HaBeis today. I'm going to talk about Mukaf. There's going to be two continuations related to Mukaf, but today is going to be the, so to speak, real topic of Mukaf. Okay, and Aruch HaBeis is like this. Before I tell you Aruch HaBeis, and Aruch HaAlef we had said, the din of Tzir of Sal. Okay, Shulchan Aruch talked about Tzir of in general, Shulchan Aruch talked about Tzir of Sal. If you want to make things up to be a shear, then how you have to get them in a certain container, and all kinds of conditions of how you make a tziruf to get up to a shir. So now the Shulchan says, "In yesh b'kol isa kishir." Now, if you have two batches, but they don't have each less than a shir, they each have a shir. So the whole halacha aleph and all what came beforehand is not relevant anymore. We already took care of that part of it. We already have a shir. For right to the hafish mizu alzu, and you want to be marfish from one or the other. So ain tzaruf lo tziruf kliv lo nigiyah. You don't need Tzir of Kli, which was Halacha Aleph. You don't need the Gia, which was Halacha Aleph and the Simon beforehand. Even Shashtayim Lefanov, since they're, as long as they're both in front of you, Marfush and Mizu Azu, you could be Marfush from one or the other. You don't need any of those conditions that we had until now. So what he's saying is, there are many Shittas in Mishanim who hold that in order to be Marfush from one batter on another, we need to have a qualification called Mukaf. We'll see in a second that's in Mishnayos. There's such a thing, you have to have Mukaf, and which means something to do with them being near each other. And many Rishonim hold that Mukaf means they have to actually be touching, or they have to be in a Kli, or all kinds of different ideas of how close they have to be to each other. So when the Shulchan Aruch says they just have to be Shteim Lefanov, he's telling you that he's going like the most mikel of those Shittas of Rishonim, that they do not have to be touching, they don't have to be in a Kli, they don't have to have all these other kind of connections to each other, just being in front of you, that's good enough. Okay, so if you read this din, if you just read this halacha base, you would say is the mechaber's paskening that in order to be mukaf, all you have to do is have the two things in front of you. That's the only condition you need to have for mukaf. Now, he definitely is trying to say that point. I'm not taking away from that, but you would understand that the entire din of mukaf is no touching, no kli, kalim, no anything like that. As long as they're both in front of you, they're both in the same area, then that's good enough. Which is what he's trying to say, like not like many rishonim. If you look at the Mishnah, that's what he said, not like all these rishonim, he's trying to make them. Okay, and that's all he's trying to say. Now, he doesn't use the word mukaf over here. Okay? You'll hear the significance of that later. He doesn't use the word mukaf. In Shimchav Gimel, way at the beginning, he had talked about mukaf. In passing, he said, in Chaos Chutzar, you don't need mukaf, but in Chaos Eretz Yisrael, you do need mukaf. It was one of the nafkimis, he said, Eretz Yisrael and Chutzar. But he doesn't use the word mukaf, but seemingly what he's saying is, you can just do anything, as long as there. Seemingly what he's saying is that as long as you have the things in front of you in the same room, then that's considered mukaf. You can be mafresh from one better than the other. Okay. So that's what you would, if you just read this, then that's what you would think. There's, the Gra has a very, very long piece over here. The piece starts off with very strong words. It starts off with the words b'din zem distapku. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Go. Okay. But I'm about, you should just know that I'm about to clarify for you what's going on here, because go'ine olam, it's not clear who he means. Maybe even Rishonim didn't get this whole thing right. Ga'ina Olam messed up on this. I'm going to set you straight on what this thing is. The Gra. There's a very long bureaucrat over here, which starts off with those words that sort of like put you in your place. Nistavku. Nistav. Ve'izchav. Nistavku. They got like confused. They like got messed up.
Nebuchim.
Yeah, Nebuchim. There we go. Same word.
Stop.
Okay, whichever one you want it to be, it's all of those things. Okay, so I'm going to first tell you in short what the Gra says, okay? And then we'll get into some of the details of what he says, which are actually very negative to us. Okay, he says like this. He says there are three categories of how, when you have more than one batter, when you have two batters, and you want to be matched from one or the other, there are three different categories that they could be. And they are, if the items are loose, okay, in other words, I have on the table here, I have a bunch of challah sitting on the table, a bunch of things that are loose, then the din is you could be mafresh from one or the other, as long as they're in the same, I'll call it the same room. Okay, well, tziruf bias, as long as they're in the same room. Okay, the Gra said, that's not mukaf. That's just mitzuruf in the house, that's good enough, you can be mafresh from one or the other one. If they're loose. If they're in a kli, in some kind of a container, then the din is, if the containers are touching each other, then you could be mafresh from one or the other. That's called mukaf. If that's what mukaf is, the second category is mukaf, when they're in kalim, in some kind of a container or packaging, and they're touching each other, then you can be mafresh from one another. That's what's mukaf. That's what the din of mukaf is. And the third category is, if they're in a sealed container, a closed-up container, then no matter what, you can't be mafresh from one on the other. It doesn't make a difference. Even if they're touching each other, it makes no difference if they're in a sealed container. You can't be mafresh from one to the other. Okay? So, that's the Gemara says these three categories. Now, as we'll go on...
What was the first two categories?
Okay, the first category was the items are loose. They're not in any kind of a container. There's a bunch of challah sitting on the table. Then as long as you're in the same room, you can be mafresh from one to the other.
That's called mukuf.
That is not called mukuf. No, that's just called the tzir of bias. Okay? You're going to hear where he gets that from. Okay? It's just mitzur. The bias pulls them together.
Not for challah.
We're talking about for what we call mukuf. Which is once you have a shear, you want to be mafresh from one to the other, you need something. But we call mukuf. The Gemara said that first type of connecting, allowing you to be mafresh is not called mukuf. That's just
social element of mukuf.
No, no. It's called you're allowed to be mafresh from one to the other. Okay, let me say this. What happens if you had a big ball of dough? And you want to be mafresh on the left side and the right side. You wouldn't say it's mukuf. You'd say it's just one big bowl of dough.
Yes, right.
That's what he's saying. In this case, seerfai, you don't need mukuf. As if it's all one big piece together. You don't need to be mukuf one or the other. Mukuf means when they're in separate containers, they have to bring
it.
Yeah, it's better than mukuf. Yeah, but if what we colloquially would call mukuf, but he's saying that's not technically the word mukuf. Mukuf is for the second category. When they're ready and clear, they can't have to touch each other. Okay, you're going to hear the significance of that in a second. Why?
They have to be in the same room.
For the first category, they have to be in the same room. Yeah. For the first category, they have to be in the same room. The third category, where they're in a candle that'll close up, doesn't make a difference. No matter what you do, they can't be. You cannot be mafresh from one another. It's automatic. So it's as if one would be here and one would be in Pittsburgh. It's just like there's no way to be in time if they're in a candle that'll close up. But you can mafresh.
But
even with
the
yevim,
that work?
Yeah, it works with the yevim.
It sounds like you're saying you can't do it. Like,
no, it means with the yevim.
It's fine.
Right. That's going to be for next time. We're going to talk about how these didn't apply to chalas lutzer. Today we're not talking about that. They were just about the dinner mukuf by itself. Next time is about chalas lutzer. Okay. So the Gemara brings very strong riots to that these three categories. Now, these three categories that he says, I didn't see anybody who preceded him who organized it so clearly and made such rules like this. Okay? There are many Rishonim who I said before, many Rishonim who say that in order to be mukaf, they have to be touching, they have to have neshicha, they have to be in a clay, all kinds of shittas, and those Rishonim are pretty clear. But that this organization that he says there are three categories. These three categories you didn't see, and it's not clear that everybody agreed to it. Okay? So he says like this. The first comes like this. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Chala says, that if a person has two isos, and he wants to be mafresh from one or the other, and the problem is that one is tameh and one is tahar. So the Mishnah gives you an answer. So what you should do is take a little piece of dough that's less than a shear of a be'ah, and something that's less than a shear of a be'ah can't transfer tumah. And what you do is you use this little piece as a bridge between the tameh dough and the tahar dough, and use this little piece of dough that's less than a kebe'ah, and you put it in between to be as the bridge in between. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says you should do if you want to be mafresh from tamei on tahor or the other way around. Okay, so some Rishonim say, wait a second, you see from this Mishnah that in order to be mukuf, it needs to be touching each other. There's some Rishonim bring a riot from this Mishnah because it says you have to make this bridge. It's widening the bridge. Why don't you just say they're in the same room? What the whole problem of the Mishnah, the tamei and the tahor are going to touch each other? What's the problem? As long as they're in the same room, it should be considered min hamukuf. You should be allowed to be mafresh. So Rishonim say, you see from here that in order to make it min hamukuf, they have to be touching. The Gemara says, well, what? So the Gemara says, he says, you know, you could say that if you want the Mishnah. He says, but if you look at Yerushalmi, Mamash talks about this. Yerushalmi says, v'ein habayit mitzarev. But the Mishnah says, why are we doing this? Why are we putting this piece of dough between here? Isn't the bias mitzarev them? In other words, we can make mukuf without touching each other. What's going on over here? To which Yerushalmi answers, no, over here, since the person is specifically makwid that they shouldn't touch each other, so there's like something he's separating them. So theoretically, the bias would be mitzarif them. But in a case like this, where the person bedafka does not want them to touch each other because of the tumah of a tayr shifrei, therefore in that case, you dafka need them to touch each other if you want to be mafresh from one another. But if there's an inherent reason why you would not want them to touch each other, then you need to touch it. Okay, but if you wouldn't, if there's no special reason why they shouldn't touch each other, then just being in the room is enough. Okay, so the Gemara says that's a riot to his, that there is at least a example when you could be mafresh from one or the other without them touching. Okay, that there's such a thing, that there's a tzir of bias, that a bias can be mitzarif then, is Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's understanding of the Mishnah, that here you think the Mishnah says just the opposite. No. The Mishnah's actually telling us only in the case of tumah v'tahara do they have to touch, but in every other case they don't. So there is at least a case when you could be mafresh from one or the other just by being in the same room. Okay. That doesn't yet tell us which cases. It just tells us that there's a case like that. So then the Gemara says, look at the Tefillah in Trumas. Okay, if any of you haven't chazed that recently, the Parag Gimel. Okay, Halachot Tes. And the Tefillah says like this. The Tosefta says that if a person has loose fruit, he has fruit that it took me a truma. Okay, I mentioned to you, truma also needs to be in a mukaf. Truma does, maizah does not. Okay, truma has to be in a mukaf. So if you have truma that's loose in your house, just loose fruit hanging in your house, then the Yerushalmi says, the Tosefta says, you could be makar from one fruit on the other one as long as you're in the same house. Okay, so that's the case of what we keep saying, tzira from a bias. Just being in the house together, there's 10 apples sitting here loose in the room, the Tosefta gives a few cases, you're allowed to be makar from one or the other. Then the Tosefta says, what happens if you have bags of grain or chavios of groigras, figs in a chavis? Then the Mishnah says, I'll read the word, it says, kulam b'hekefa achas, tarmin ma'asim yizalzeh. If they're b'hekefa achas, then you could mafish from one or the other one. So the Gemara says, how come at the beginning of the Tosefta it said, if they're in the same house, you could mafish from one or the other one? And then the second case in the Tosefta says, if they're b'hekefa achas, you could mafish from one or the other one. He says, the change in Lashon in the Tosefta tells us that there's a difference between tziruf of a bias and mukaf. Tziruf bias and mukaf are not the same thing. Tziruf of bias is for loose things, like the first case. The guy says, mufuzarim, the Yishan, he said, they're just mufuzarim in the room. As opposed to when they're in a kli, like in a bag of flour, or a chavis of groigris, in that case, you need a different standard. The standard is not the bias achas. The standard then is, it has to be mukaf. Okay, what does mukaf mean? So the Gemara says, mukaf means that they're touching. We'll talk a little more about that in a while. But he says, mukaf means they're touching. So obviously, mukaf doesn't mean touching. The food is touching, because they're in a bag, or they're in a kli. So it must mean that the kelim have to be touching each other. So you see, even the Tosefta, the way it split up these two cases, that when the Yerushalmi told us that there's such a thing as being in a bias, tziruf in a bias, that means for loose items, but the case when we do mukov, which is not tziruf bias, when we do mukov, that's for the case when they're in time kind of a claim. Okay, and now, I don't know the third case. So far we did two of the categories across. It's two categories so far. What about the third category? Third category, which is if it's in a sealed kli, then you can never be mafresh from one or the other one. So the Gemara says that comes from a Mishnah in Meisher Sheni. Okay, and the Mishnah at the end of, also the third paragraph, towards the end of the third paragraph, Meisher Sheni says that if you have barrels of wine, if they're open, before you seal, close them up, then tarumi achas al hakol. Then you could mafresh from one or the other one. Umishekofan. Once you close them up, then tarumi kol achas achas. Then you can only be mafresh from each one on itself. You can't be mafresh from one on the other one. Sukni ver maizah shein or truma. You can't be mafresh from one on the other one. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You said to me if they're in before you close up the barrel, you could be mafresh from one or the other one. That means that they're touching each other. Because I just told you that means that they have to be touching each other. So why if they're sealed can't you be mafresh from one or the other one? Or at least say, if they're touching, then you can be mafresh from the other one. That tells you that once something is sealed up, once the container is sealed, then you cannot be mafresh, no matter what, there's no way to be mafresh from one the other one if it's in a sealed container. Okay? So the third category, that in a sealed container you can't be mafresh from the other one, comes from this Mishnah in Meisher Sheni.
It just means covered or sealed?
Okay, so, it's actually a question. The Gemara says it means covered. What'd you say though?
It's on a puzzle.
The Gemara says it means covered, and then actually I was going to say that there's a machlokes in Yerushalmi on this Mishnah of Meisher Sheni, whether actually is it specific to wine that this din says. Okay, the Yerushalmi has a tzad that is specific to wine. Maybe only that wine, a wine barrel that's sealed, has a special din and nothing else. Because what about barrels of oil and things like that? Maybe they don't have the special din. Which is very much the gate of, because the Gemara says it as any closed container has this din that you can't remember from one or the other one. Okay, it's actually a machlokes Yerushalmi, which one? And the Rambam paskens lahako, that only for wine does it make a difference if it's in a sealed container. If it's not wine, then it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara doesn't say like that. It's not clear why. He's paskening like the shita of the Nekel and Yerushalmi. It's not clear why he's paskening like that shita. And this question, what does it mean? What's unique about wine that makes it that only wine should have that din? It has to do with what you asked, about whether it's sealed or not sealed. Some people say it's just the chashivas of wine. Some have the chashivas of wine. Once in a sealed container, has a special chashivas, and now it won't be mature for anything else. And some people say that the point of sealing wine is it's a sealed container prevents it from spoiling, because it's a din, and it's also the matzias, that air is what makes wine turn into vinegar. So sealing it is you need it to preserve it. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't mean it's a dafka wine. When the Yerushalmi said it's out of wine, it didn't mean wine. I mean, anything that seals it, that permanently, that preserves the product is like an extra special kind of a seal. And that's what keeps it together, which can have nafkaminas us, because it means that we have a sealed something else to prevent it from spoiling, which is what we usually, which is why we usually drill in, then we can't have the din of oneos. Okay. I said that real quickly. Okay, let's go on.
But the gross seems to apply it to every food.
The gross says it's for every food. There is a sheik Yerushalmi like that. It's not clear why possibly. Maybe you have a reason in the second. Well, yeah, the Rambam says it's tafka by wine, which is like one of the, it's a machlokes Yerushalmi like that. Okay, so why the gross is not like that? It's not so clear. Okay. Especially we would say, for us, Chal Sutzar, this is the Rabbanim, we would have said if you have a shalom in Yerushalmi, if we have, unless you have some special reason to pass that, we would have been passing like the Mekilim, that in order to be mature, that only, what's the makeup for us? Right, that wine, no, the cool for us is to say that it, no matter what the container is, it's not mature. Oh, I don't know what trade the cool. Yeah, you can't be married from one or the other. It's only limit that to wine and everything else you could be married. We would have been passing like the Rambam. Well, okay. That's the question. Why would it say that? Okay, now.
He's not talking about Chalas Tosla. It's just for the record.
The Rambam's not?
No, the Gra.
Well, what do you think he's talking about?
The Gra's talking about in general. The Gra.
That's true. Okay, that's true. That's true. He's talking about, I mean, Chal, it, most places can say Chal, even we treat Chal Eretz Yisrael like a Chal Eretz
Yisrael. Chal Eretz is treated differently for purposes.
So you think maybe he would have been, okay, it's not, I don't know, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah, he for sure is on the Chal Eretz Yisrael. He brings this.
Okay,
but it's not clear why the Gra doesn't say that. Maybe we'll have an explanation in a second. Maybe a little bit. Okay, now, I a little bit didn't tell you the whole story. I just got to air a piece on here that the Gra doesn't talk about. I didn't tell you the whole story. When I told you that Tosefta says these two, the second case, about a bag of flour and a chavis of goigris, okay? The Gra said, and you see from there that if it's in a container, then they have to be touching each other. Okay, that was it. Now, the only problem is that I only told you two of the cases. There's only three cases there. Okay? And the three cases are, listen to the Tosefta, Saki Tfuah, the Igulei Tvela, the chavis of goigris. Okay, now, what's with Igulei Tvela? Igulei Tvela means somebody took a bunch of figs together, stuck them together, and they dried, you know, like in a clump into this ring that people get. Like, you can even buy nowadays such a thing like that. It's a clump together in a ring the way it dries together. Okay? Well, we is the kli. The Gra says, the point of this second half of the Tosefta is, since it's in a kli, the kli don't have to be touching each other. Okay? We is the kli. Igulei Tvela doesn't mean it's in the kli. We is the kli. Tosefta says it, Rambam brings that case also. So what's going on? What does he mean when he says it's only a kli? It made me think that maybe when the Gra says kli, we shouldn't take that so literally. It's hard to believe, because the Gra is like really makes a point of this. But maybe what the Tosefta is saying is that when Paris are loose, then a bias can be mitzar of them. As soon as the Paris have their own units to them, they're gathered together into their own separate little places, then you need something better to be mitzar of them. You can't just be mitzar of them in bias. No way you do that is you put them in the kli. You put six apples in this big and five apples in this big, then each one of them is in its own thing. But if you find some other way to make it into a unit, like you make it igulei tvela, you find some other way to create a unit out of it, things can't be mature with each other just by being in the same house. They have to be touching in order to be mature with one each other. Okay, which if that would be correct, again, the Gra does not say, the Gra keeps talking about them being in kelim. If that would be correct, they'll have not given this to us in other cases. So for now, we'll just leave it hanging. Okay? What does it mean? I mean, here he keeps talking about it's a kli, and one of the cases he goes in is not a kli. Okay. We can put that on the side. Okay, so now that we saw this Gra, okay, let's go back to see what the Shulchan Aruch says. So if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, if you did not read the Gra on the bottom of the page, you would say is, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kivin Shishtayim the Fun Mafrish Mizuazu. Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying it's as long as it's in the same house, you could be Mafrish one on the other one. No, none of these other conditions. No, doesn't say anything about Kalim. Doesn't say about Kalim touching each other, you can't do it. Nothing. It just says Shishtayim the Fun, you could be Mafrish Mizuazu. It sure doesn't sound like he's saying like the Gra. That's if you read this then, that's what you would say. It sure sounds like with this whole Gra on the bottom here, doesn't sound like what it says over there. Okay? But you would only say that if you were going to follow. Okay, because in that, this is Simon Shin Chafei, the Fal. If you look, I'm not so smart, the Gra tells you to look there. If you look at Shin Lamed Aleph, in Hilchos Truma, there's a really long Simon on Hilchos Truma's Masters, and there, the Shulchan Aruch tells you what it means to make a mukav. He gives you the details of what it means to make a mukav. And guess what it says? First it says, one case, this is what Shalom and Mukav is. It says if you have 50 apples in this house, and 50 apples in a different house, you want to be mafresh truma. He says you can't just take two from this house, be mafresh on the whole 100, because these are not minamukah for the other ones. The 50 in this house are not minamukah for the other ones, so you can't be mafresh on these two on the whole 100. That's shalom minamukah. Then he says, what happens if you have peris mefuzarim in a bias? then you can be mafresh from one on the other one. What's that? That's the tisefta. That's the first case of the tisefta. You have peiros mufuzar on the bias, you can be mafresh from one on the other one. This is what I mean for shochlar. Next case. What happens if you have sake tfuah, v'igui tveil, v'chav yishad regres? What's it then? If the behekefa achas, then you could mafresh from one on the other one. That's the second case of the tisefta. And then he says, and what happens if you have a barrel of wine that's in the seal, a sealed barrel, then you could never be mafresh from one on the other one, even if you could never be mafresh from one on the other one. And that is the Mishnah in wherever the other Mishnah was. Okay, the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch brings all three cases. The three cases from which the Gra builds his three categories are right here in Simk and Halacha Chavav. The whole thing right here. So if you learned in Hilchos Chala, it says Shtein Lefan of Yikir Mavrish, and you didn't see this, then you would know what he's talking about. Okay, look in here in Simk and Lamanal, if you find out that the Mukav seems to be exactly what the Gra described. The three categories. The first one he says the bias is enough. The second one he says he uses the word mukav, and the third one he says if they're in sealed containers, you can't be mafresh one or the other. What do you say? Yeah, chala is like chumah. If anything, it's the other way around. If anything, chala has some Rishon Lamanal has stricter din than chumah, but it has the same kind of din. Now about the yayin part of it, it's a question in here. So the Shulchan Aruch in our page does not say the word yayin. He just says if they're in a container, if chavius, shloi sasam is PM or shasasam is PM. On the bottom it says, no, it's a mistake, it's really say yayin. Okay, so you take it or leave it. Whichever one you want, whatever sheet you want to hold like. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the word yayin. Okay, the word yayin is not in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says that this is almost a direct quote out of the Rambam. Okay, this whole thing, these three cases is almost a direct quote, but if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't have the word wine. Okay? Which is maybe where the quote is coming from, to not pass like that sheet. So the Shulchan Aruch shows it's an again. Now, if you look back at our din, now when the Shulchan Aruch said, El Kishishtein Lefan or Mafishim Yisu Azu, he didn't mean to tell you how to make mukav. He means to say is, not like all those other Rishonim hold, they have to be touching, and they have to be in the Kli, all kinds of other shitas. Kishishtein Lefan is good enough. There is such a thing as making, as being Mafishim one or the other without all those things that people say like touching. Okay? He's not telling you how to do mukav. That's how you're supposed to know that in a couple of pages later, he's going to tell you how to do the mukav. Okay. So far, if you pause it, so far the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying exactly like what the Rambam said, like the Gra said. Okay, so the question is, if other people agree with that, so there's two shachs that I want to tell you about. One is in Shin Chav Dalet. The shach is talking about a case, it's not negated to us what the case is, but the shach is talking about a case of a person being mafresh from one thing or the other, whatever the reason is why they're being mafresh from one or the other, a special case here in Shulchan Aruch. And the shach says, what you could do is, you have the thing that needs the hafrasha, and you're bringing something else to do the hafrasha on it. So the shach says, if you put them in containers, if they're both in containers, they're in kelim, and you want to be mafresh from one or the other one, then they don't have to be touching each other. Okay, but they're close to each other, they don't have to be touching each other, then you could mafresh from one or the other. Okay, so at first glance, the shach sounds like not like what the Gra said, because the shach makes a point of saying that they don't have to be touching each other. So Yeshua sounds like, and they're in kelim. His case, the second case of the Gra, which is they're in Kalim, he says that they're in Kalim, yet he says they don't have to be touching each other. So at first glance, it seems like he's saying not like the Gra. If you look at it more carefully, it's not so clear. Because it could be all he means is that the foods are not touching each other. Okay? He doesn't mean the Kalim are not touching, it means the foods, because obviously the foods can't touch, they're in a clique. And the reason to think that is because he says there's this condition, they have to be smuchas. Well, where did that come from? Why would they have to be smuchas if they don't have to be touching? Where did he come up with this thing they have to be smuchas? So it sounds like, he actually sounds like he's saying exactly like the Gross said. He's saying is, they have to be smuchas, and in this case, the word smuchas doesn't mean close, it means is as close as possible. Okay? It means is the food can't touch because they're in a kli, but they have to be smuchas, make them as close as you could to each other. And they don't have to touch each other, which actually, the way the Gross said, would sit very smoothly to explain us what the Shach is trying to talk about. Okay? There are other ways to read the Shach. Okay? Now, for what's order is that we learned since turn to Shim and Shin Laman Al. I told you the Shulchan Aruch has all three cases, all three that are laid out the way the Gra does. He doesn't say the detail of this is in a kli and that's mukav, and if it's not in a kli, that's called Shulchan bias. But the three cases are right there in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach doesn't have very much to say about this thing. He sort of paraphrases what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't add very much to our reading to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It seems to be just paraphrasing it. But if you read it, it's really odd because he paraphrases the first case of the Shulchan Aruch and the third case of the Shulchan Aruch and completely ignores the second case of the Shulchan Aruch. So what's that? Why is he missing out the case of Sake Tfuah, where the kelim are, where the things are in kelim, but and that the Shulchan Aruch says they have to be touching each other. He doesn't say that, but they have to be Behekei Ba'achah. They have to be something. There's a higher standard when they're in kelim. What he like glosses over. He says he talks about the first case. He says the third case, but he misses the second case. What happened? Does that tell us that maybe he doesn't hold to this then? That if they're in a kli, they have to be touching each. They have to be the kelim have to touch each other. So I don't know if you're gonna like this or not like this. I'm gonna give you a very a very non-sophisticated answer to this question. And that is, if you look at Halacha Chavav, if you look at Halacha Chavav, you open up in your Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that the second case in Shulchan Aruch is in parentheses. Okay, very odd, it's in parentheses. Okay, so I was struck by that. Why is it in parentheses? It's almost a literal quote out of the Rambam, and the Rambam, all three cases are there. What's with the parentheses? So I looked in one of the newer Shulchan Aruchs, and it says that middle case didn't exist in Shulchan Aruch until the printing in the year Tav Chaf Beis, okay, in the 1600s, okay, in the year 1662, okay, it didn't appear in print until that year, and the year 1662 is actually the year the Shach died, okay, and the same for the Shach on Yer Day was printed about 15 years before that, okay, so in the Shach Shulchan Aruch it didn't say that middle case. So if you want to know why the Shach just paraphrases the first and the third din, it doesn't say anything about the second din, because he didn't have a second din. It wasn't there. There was no second din. In the Shach Shulchan Aruch, there was no second din. Okay, so he didn't say very much about it, so it's not like he's going into like what the Rambam said, this and that, but you wonder why he didn't say anything about it, because he didn't say it wasn't there. He didn't have, there wasn't a first and second, case number one, case number three, and case number two is one. Okay, so that's why he doesn't say it. Now, but that, once I told you, now the Grav, who lived like 50 years later, okay, in his Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what his Shulchan Aruch looked like, but he probably had it. It's not even so clear that when he says, look at this Shulchan Aruch, it's not so clear that he means to say it has all three dinim. He says, look at the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the set that he keeps on going. It's not clear that he means to bring right from this Shulchan Aruch that all three cases. So I don't know what it said in his Shulchan Aruch. You know, I don't know what it said in the Grav Shulchan Aruch. But now that I told you that, now I have to turn that around on you. Because now I have to reconsider what the Mechaber held. I told you a minute ago that the Mechaber is saying exactly like the Grav. It means all three cases, and divides them up in the way the Grav wants them to be divided up. They're saying all three cases. Now, if the Shulchan Aruch left out the middle case, what does that tell us about it?
Maybe the printer left it out, but it was in the original Kisvei Yad.
Wait,
it wasn't in the editions until 1662.
The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber died 150 years before.
What happened?
Somebody woke up, they found it.
Maybe it was in Kisvei Yad. What does it say? Well, what's the reason it was in certain secret? Was it based in Kisvei Yad, or somebody else came along and said, Mechaber left this out?
I'm not that kind of a researcher, so I can't say the answer.
That's an important question.
But I don't know the answer. That doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch that I said, it says in Tav Chaf Beis, because it makes sense if it just showed up. The impression is the person saw that these dinim are in the Rambam. The Rambam has all three cases, and the Rambam left one out. Yeah, so he stuck one in. It's not clear where it came from. It just appeared. It just appeared from that year on. Where it came from.
It must be they found it in Kisvei Yad, and that's why.
I have no idea. Now, but well, it's like this. I'll tell you a different variation of that, okay? Now, to say that the Mechaber didn't hold the second case would be very odd. I mean, I'm saying to you as if it's not there. It would be very odd because, I mean, it's a Tesefta. Tesefta brings this case. He brought the other half of the Tesefta. It wasn't like he didn't know there was a Tesefta. There's no basis on this then. So, you know, if he's quoting the Rambam word for word from a Rambam, and he's going to skip out, you know, 10 words in the middle, you think he'd have to tell us why he did that. You know, you think there'd be some explanation. I skipped those words for this reason. So to think that he quoted the Rambam almost word for word without telling us why not, seems like a little odd. I think he doesn't hold like that. Come on. So there's something to say right about that. But it might tell us something else. Okay. The whole Grav, everything that I told you from the Grav is built on, essentially, on two pieces of information. Okay. Everything is built on these two pieces of information. And one is that the word mukav and the word tzir of bias are not the same thing. Okay. It's a very subtle deal that the word, sometimes we use the word mukav, sometimes we say habayis mitzarev, and we're making a deal that those words are not the same. And that when the Tesefta says the bias and the tzara from, and then it says kefa achas, those don't mean the same thing. Which is a deal. I don't think that it's not a deal. There is a point that we're changing words on us. There's a Mishnah Tful Yon that says to be kefa achas. The Yerushalmi says habayis be mitzara. So there's a deal to that. But it's not clear that everybody would hold that the word. See, everybody before I started this morning, people who just learned the Shulchan Aruch think that when the Shulchan Aruch says shteim lefanav, and when he said before mukav, they all mean the same thing. Tzir from the bias and the mukav, they all mean the same thing. So the Grav is being medayik on the words. Not clear that everybody helped with that. And also, the Grav is saying that the word mukav means touching. Okay? It's a big shaila in Rishonim what the word mukaf means. Okay? Others say that mukaf means in the same general area or close to each other. Okay? It's not clear. The Gra is making an assumption that the word mukaf has a connotation of things that touch each other rather than just being in the same general vicinity, which many others don't agree. Many others say the word mukaf just means they're just in the same basic areas as one another. Based on those two pieces of information, that mukav is not tzir bias, and that mukav needs touching, the Gra says, well, why did it say bias, and then it said touching? Oh, bias and touching, those are really different from each other. But it could be that the Mechaber didn't see like that. And that in his mind, touching and bias and mukav are all the same thing. So why did he, like, why did it say two cases? I don't know, but we don't need all these cases. I have to say every single example of how you can make mukav. So I have to say the first thing, which is the bias can be mitzarefim, because that's how it works. I have to say the third thing, that if it's in a sealed container, you can't have mukav no matter what you do, you can't have mukav. But do I have to give you every gory detail of how you can make tzir? So maybe you didn't feel like you have to do it. What I'm saying is that the fact that he left out the middle case sounds like he doesn't want to grow up, but that's really odd to argue, like, cut out a page out of Tosefta. But could it be that he just had a different havana? I have to tell you something. Before the Gra said his thing, that if it's in a kli, they have to be touching each other, nobody else says that. Nobody reads the Tosefta to be saying, if it's in a kli, they have to be touching each other. It just says, sake tvua, if they're behekei fa'achas, that's okay. What does sakei fa'achas mean? They're close, they're in the same room, they're in the same general area. I don't know what everybody says. I didn't see anybody making that point that they have to, the kelim have to be touching. This is a very foreign nafgimi that the Gra is making. Maybe the Mechaber didn't hold of such of that subtleness and of that deal, and so he's not. So he, in his essence, he's arguing the Gra, but not arguing because somehow he doesn't agree with the Tosefta. Why would you not agree with the Tosefta? He's arguing because maybe he holds that this is really like sort of subsumed into the first case. Maybe I'm not sure what it is. Okay? But the whole thing needs more thought. As I mentioned to you, I mentioned the passing, the Mishabur brings it the way the Gra says it. The Gra is so clear, and there's so many sheets in the Mishnah, and the Gra is so clear that many later Acharonim quote the Gra as is, not the whole long piece, but the short version, that there are these three categories. This is when you have Tzir Bias, this is when you have Mukav, and this is when you have no Mukav. And lots of people assume like that, but there are those who wonder if maybe this is not really the din, and that maybe before the Gra, nobody thought like this, and that they really, mukav and tzir bias is all the same stuff, with the one exception that if it's in a sealed container, and even maybe only a sealed container of wine, a sealed container then you can't have it, but everything else otherwise, basically being in the same room is it is. Okay, so now, before I finish, I'll tell you, what? In Tatman Zayin, Sikhan Zayin, I think it is, in Tatman Zayin is all din of Hafarshus Chalak, because we talked about it a number of times, that for Matzah. Okay, so these din of mukav would be negated to a certain amount of people in the house. Okay, let's say if a person forgot to be mafresh challah when it was a batter, and they won't be mafresh challah until they had really shaped it into bread or to roll challahs, so they have to have mukav. So then also they can have 10 challahs on the table, they have to know how to do mukav, and let's say if you put the challahs into baking pans, also according to the world, it's not going to mukav. If you put all your challahs into baking pans, you say, oh my gosh, I forgot to mafresh challah, then you have to touch those all together, or cover them over with something to make them be mukav. So these kind of cases could come up for people at homes also. Again, I say that because when you ask Rabbanim, you say to them, what do you have to do? The lady says, I forgot to be Mafresh Challah when it was dough. What should I do to be Mafresh Challah now? And they say, it's okay. As long as they're all there together, be Mafresh Challah. Okay? The Gra, not everybody is going to say over the Gra, maybe because they don't know, or maybe because that's not the assumption what you have to do now. But it has a huge nafgamina for us, who want to be Mafresh Challah with Tevel Matzah or Tevel Dough. Yeah, but we want to be mafresh with tevel matzah, tevel dough, which we've talked about it a dozen times, which is, we have a bakery that's 500 miles away from anybody. They make it owned by a year, and they're making things that need hafarshus challah. So what do? We put a piece of dough, or we put a piece of, or a box of matzah that's tevel into the building, and into the room, and we're mafresh challah. We say, every time you make a batter, a little piece is going to be challah on what you just did hafarsh on. Okay, well, the Gra said that if it's in a kli, the kli have to be touching each other. Okay? That's really, really difficult to do. It's almost impossible to do that in a commercial bakery. I'm going to put my box of matzahs connected to the mixing bowl where they're mixing this up to think that we're going to make the kelim touching each other. So to say, to get them into the room would be, maybe you could pull it off. Maybe you could say, go to the room where they do the kneading and stick the matzahs into a corner someplace, put them in a little corner someplace, it'll be in the same room. If you want to get them in the room, you want to get them to be touching, it's very close, hard to do. And if you say even more that maybe these even qualify for the third category, maybe these categories aren't kelim that are sealed. Okay, it's not wine, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say wine. It's not clear. The Gra doesn't say it's only about barrels of wine. So if you have a box of matzahs that are sealed shut, okay, well, That might even be wine, because it's a seal to keep it from spoiling. Well, what happens if you take our dough, that when we do with dough, you put it into the freezer? Okay, put it into the freezer, it's in a kli. Remember we talked about last time, that if the freezer is big enough, like it usually is in a commercial bakery, then it's going to be memsa, it's not even in the same room, it's in a different room completely. So then everyone should agree that in these cases, it's shalem and mukav. So the din is, if you're like Yossi said, if you're ma'ava shalem and mukav, it works for the edit. Okay, it works for the edit. But why do we set up hashkachas like that? Here we do, we do it all the time, it's a standard practice to do these hafrashas. How does this tevel system work? Tevel dough or tevel matzah, they're in this case roughly similar. The way the Gros said, you have to, if they're in Kalim, at least they have to be touching each other. Now, if you tell me that, no, that's not really the truth, and somehow you'll tell me that really, it just has to be in the same room, okay, that's possible. You could maybe pull that off to get them in the same room. But if you say what the Gros says, the Mishnah, again, a lot of the later Achareim quote this Gros, it's pretty hard to start up when the Gros says, you know, even the Goyim Yerelim got confused about this thing. It's like, you think that you understand better than me. Like, so it's hard to argue with that. But anyhow, so, how do we do this?
Just open the
maximizers. So you could open the maximizers.
Sure.
Wait.
Huh?
Wait. If you open the maximizers, this has to be touching.
Yeah,
the open candle has to be touching. Okay, and doesn't help us for us. We like to do tevel dough. We need to leave it open out in the room. It's going to be gone in 10 minutes. You got it. It has to be in the freezer. Okay, I can't tell you that I'm going to give you a good answer to that question. In the next two times, we're going to talk about different possibilities of how we could maybe lighten the question or somehow make it not as serious as it is. And after we're finished the next two times, you're going to still tell me that the question is better than the answer, which it probably is. But this din of Minamukov is going to be a very serious issue for us. Anybody uses this Tevel system, it's, to my understanding, the weakest link in using Tevel. We've talked in the past about advantages of dough over matzah, or maybe even some of matzah over dough, but all Tevel systems have this weakness built up to them.